I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the dark of night, flanked by Israeli special forces,
follow me.
We move quickly into Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
You can hear the Israelis are engaged in gun battles here with Hamas.
Down a hallway in the radiology department, soldiers point to piles of weapons and Hamas booklets as evidence the building was used for military purposes. Behind an MRI machine, more guns and ammunition, the Israelis say are part of Hamas grab bags that were feet away from injured Palestinians.
In terms of the patients here, there are hundreds of Palestinian civilians, more than 1,000 internally displaced Gazans. Are they being protected?
First of all, they're unharmed, which is very important to state. No Palestinian civilian was even hurt, injured, in yesterday's activity.
That was a report from Trey Yinks from Fox News, along with the Israeli Defense Forces as they were going into Al-Shifa Hospital. And, of course, if you recall, the story from Hamas was, from the beginning, Israeli soldiers are coming in and shooting anyone, killing them on the spot if they speak Arab, and they're killing and butchering babies. None of that happened. But what was proven is that Hamas was using the hospital to cover, conceal a command center, as well as weapons, as well as their leaders. And that's just one of the hospitals. They're also under schools, mosques. And, of course, the issue now is trying to reach them through the 100-mile-plus tunnels they've dug under Gaza. That's just a 26, 27 stretch of land, 3 to 4 miles wide, 26, 27 miles long. I mean, and yet the entire underground looks like termites are everywhere. Well, they are. The termites, the cowards, Hamas. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, November 16, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. And also Newstalk STL, Facebook and Twitter, Rumble everywhere. I strongly encourage you, if you get a chance, to watch one or two episodes. I think you'll be hooked. But even if you can't, you can always go and pull up podcasts later, video and or audio, at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And when you do, please share it with others you think need to see and hear the messages. So last night there was a vote that came out of the House and to the Senate for them to approve aid to Israel. Do you remember Chuck Schumer stating from the well of the Senate the other day, we must get aid to Israel ASAP. Chuck Schumer is a Jew. And he's insistent we need to get aid to them. Well, the House passed a bill, $14.5 billion aid for Israel. They did not include money for Ukraine. They did not include money for what Biden has claimed would enforce border security, when it really would just help process those coming through quicker. So it was stripped out. They gave him just the bill, the money for Israel. As Schumer said, we need ASAP. I want you to hear Larry Kudlow of Fox Business raise a question of Senator Marshall as to what happened.
All right, a simple question. Why did Democrats block aid to Israel in a vote last night? Joining me now, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall. So, Senator Marshall, I know you fought hard for it. Israel needs it. Hamas is trying to kill them. Why did Democrats block this? What's going on here?
Well, that's a great question, Larry. I think number one is we got to show them their true colors. We showed America the Democrats' true colors last night. We called their bluff for once. For over a month, Republicans have been calling for a vote on standalone legislation for Israel funding, and the Democrats saying, "Oh yes, we want to help Israel, but they always wanted to leverage it for Ukraine funding to make the border more open, to bring more people across the border." But we found a way to seize control of the Senate floor and demand this vote. And 51 Democrats, every one of them, voted against funding for Israel. What's ironic is that 2 p.m., Chuck Schumer's on the National Mall saying, "We will not rest until Israel gets its aid." But at 6 p.m., he votes against that.
Voted against it. Because as much as he proclaims, "I want aid for Israel, I also want more money for Ukraine. And I want all this extra money for, quote, border security," which is not going to secure the border. It's going to process people through quicker. Biden has made it clear to him. He and Schumer together agreed, look, if we break out Ukraine money from the Israeli money, we may never get more money for Ukraine. That might be true. You might get some. But why would you turn your back on money available right now to help Israel? Well, Chuck Schumer, just in the beginning when that bill was introduced, said this is not really a serious offer. It's not really a serious proposal. The hell it's not. Senator Marshall again.
Time is of the essence. We need to send a message to Iran and all the proxies that enough is enough, and America is not going to tolerate terrorism. We're not going to tolerate these brutal, savage attacks by Hamas on Israelis or on anybody, for that matter, that this is a war for humankind. So instead, Chuck Schumer sent a message last night to Iran and the proxies, go ahead. There's no red line.
Next vote, Senator.
It'll be months, that because Joe Biden is insisting on tying this to a supplemental vote that funds Ukraine, that makes the border more open as well, and Taiwan funding. And I'm telling you, we're no closer today on that vote than we were a month ago. That even within the Democrat caucus, they're divided on what to do with each one of these issues. And what the Senate does is dead on arrival in the House and vice versa as well. That's why we need the standalone Israel funding passed yesterday.
But it didn't pass yesterday. It won't pass later this week. And, of course, Congress is getting ready to go on a Thanksgiving vacation. The only thing they did end up passing was a continuing resolution to keep the government operating a couple more months while they try to negotiate some other things. Again, I've always been against continuing resolutions, but we got so many things on our plate right now. This one I'm going to give a pass. Let's just keep essential agencies and others would be open anyway, but they're backing it up with some additional monies as well. So they did that. But the key point being that Schumer helped lead the rejection of money for Israel. Now, you heard earlier when we began that report from Trey Yanks, who was with the IDF forces going in to Al-Shifa Hospital, and they did find a lot of documents and listen to what some of those might contain.
I want you to listen to Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus, who was on that embed inside Gaza City. He describes what they found.
This bag is from the MRI center. All of this here was taken there, was found there, and we're bringing it out for processing. That's why we didn't leave it there. Handwritten notes and a computer where we found pictures and video of hostages and of Hamas combatants that are being interrogated.
Jonathan, just on these, you said you found names of hostages?
Of hostages, pictures of hostages, and what appears to be, at a very quick glance, files of hostages.
Files of hostages. Don't know if any or how many might be alive, but they found documents of who apparently Hamas is holding. The pro-Hamas and PLO protesters were outside the DNC headquarters last night, the Democrat National Headquarters, and they were making such a ruckus, extra police had to be brought in. It got a little violent, a little fisticuffs, and several arrests. And the Dems are worried inside not only the DNC, in fact, they had to evacuate the building for a time, but they're worried inside their party, all this pressure on us regarding Israel and Hamas, especially coming from the squad, is disintegrating what we hope to be a win in 2024. Other members, such as the squad, they will not fully denounce what Hamas did. They still want to talk about a two-state solution from the river to the sea and will not retract that statement, which would be genocide for Israel. In the meantime, based on FBI Director Wray's testimony yesterday, we need to be very concerned about Hamas or other terrorists on the loose already in the USA.
Are there people that match the terror watch list that were apprehended by CBP that the FBI and other agencies are searching for in the United States?
There are certainly individuals who are the subject of terrorism investigations that we are searching for.
Are there people that you don't? Are there people you don't know where they are that the FBI is searching for today?
Yes.
Yes or no? Yes.
When I got to Director Wray, I had to pin him down on that question. And it's not surprising to the American public that they are looking for people. 282 people have crossed into this country and matched the terror watch list that we know about. That does not include the gotaways. And furthermore, after Director Wray answered that question, which should it should alarm every American, especially after what happened in Israel with the horrific attacks by Hamas, that can happen here. And when questioned, Secretary Mayorkas told the American people that they really don't have a policy. DHS does not have a policy to detain people who do match the terror watch list.
How the hell do we not have such a policy? There's no explanation for that. You're listening then to Texas Congressman August Pfluger saying there are 280 known terrorists that are in our country that were coming through. They're on no-fly list and so forth. Now, whether or not all of them were detained, that's still not clear. But we know something like 600,000-plus gotaways. Those are those who never came in contact with border officials, sneaking over at night, maybe caught on a camera. But they don't know where they are. They don't know what their intentions are. But I will promise you this. If they're sneaking into the country, it's not just to come make a good living, especially if they're coming across in clandestine fashion at night. And they're paying extra money to cartels to get them across. So we have the Biden Xi meeting yesterday in San Francisco. They got San Fran all cleaned up. And there is no report that Biden asked the Chinese leader about the question I raised yesterday, which he should ask him. Why are so many of your young military-age men coming to our country? I would have loved to have that question. Now, he might have said, well, I guess they're trying to escape my great leadership, which would be a lie. They might be trying to escape it, but then again, if they were trying to escape, they've defected, and their families left behind will pay with their lives. They're here because the Chinese president allowed them to go, authorized, paid for it, got them here to form what? Maybe a fifth column inside our nation? That's a term used to say you're putting troops behind the lines of your enemy. That question apparently didn't get asked. That was a prominent question. Biden just walking through the gardens and talking about all the green things and other stuff. China apparently did promise to help curb fentanyl from China coming into Mexico, then across our border. That's what they promised. And of course, China's not known for keeping promises. And Gordon G. Chain, which we've had on this air numerous times before, was talking to Fox News, and he says Premier Xi is playing Biden.
Xi Jinping has this view of an economy dominated by state institutions, very little room for domestic private entrepreneurs, almost no room for foreign investors, but he wants our money, and so he'll continue to play for it. And he thinks he'll probably get it and be able to get it on his own terms. So, yeah. Definitely, Xi Jinping wants foreign money, and that's why he's here. He's not here to talk to Biden so much. He's here to get foreign money.
No, he's not here to talk to Biden. And Biden said, and I'm going to accept and agree with this, that it's better for us to meet face-to-face, eye-to-eye. I don't know that it was a little spooky for Xi more than Biden, but either way they did. I do think we need to maintain relations where we can. But as Senator Cotton pointed out yesterday, they're not two high school sweethearts getting together for a date. Let me tell you, in addition to the promise from Xi that they would do what they could to curb fentanyl from coming into the U.S., it won't happen, but that's a promise. What he did say, and again, this gets back to Gordon Chang's remarks about money, Xi said industrial and supply chains are still under the threat of interruption. Protectionism is rising. All of these are grave problems. In other words, anything you do to restrain our trade, reduce our trade, you're not helping us, you're not helping the world, and you're not helping yourself. They want us to believe that we need China more than they need us. We're going to get into that more in the next hour. But Xi made his remarks then at the same time, pressing that the coronavirus pandemic caused some major issues. But he did not take responsibility for it coming from China, as Trump would say. Not one word of responsibility. The Biden administration officials, right after the meeting, ran out with their notes and their PR papers ready to go, trying to manage expectations, saying, hey, we did a lot. We did a lot. We did restore military communications. So there'll be a hotline, I guess, linked up between China and the White House. So at any moment, one can call the other. But, of course, if Biden uses hotline and calls, it gets a... or no one's available now, please leave your message. That doesn't mean you've accomplished anything. And they did make a big deal out of fentanyl. If China will curb that coming in, we won't have as many deaths from fentanyl. That would be great because we have lost a lot of people, young, old, of all races, of all income strata, demographics, to fentanyl. And they're not really, in many cases, true drug users. They tried one pill that they thought might have been something else, or one marijuana cigarette that they didn't get from now the authorized dispensaries that are available, and it was laced with fentanyl. One time, and the one time was enough to kill them. I'm looking at what else I can find that maybe shows some bright spots of the meeting. Other than saying that we will resume military communications, they'd cut them off as to when Pelosi went to Taiwan. They didn't like that. My co-producer Quentin pointed out yesterday, maybe they're going to say we would do it. And because since you're going to not let Pelosi or anybody come back to Taiwan without our permission, I don't know if they made that agreement or not. Oh, Biden did press Xi to use his influence with Iran. There's a point we're going to need to dig into coming up. Let me tell you this. In our next hour, we have a woman who escaped from China. She says that China's goal is to control the world. No surprise, but you will want to hear her story. And later in this hour, two rappers are calling out woke, supporting Trump. But coming up next, that question for Biden to get China to help calm down Iran. You're going to hear how the Hamas attack fits into China's plans. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party? Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty, reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on several times before. Always glad to have her. An expert with Heritage Foundation on National Security and Foreign Affairs, Victoria Coates. Welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be with you.
So I'm looking at a piece and what we see or have not seen come out of the Xi-China Biden meeting. First of all, let me get your response. What do you think came out of it?
Well, in the words of my Heritage colleague, Jim Carafano, this was sort of the ultimate nothing burger. You know, we got with a side of nothing fries.
Yeah, side of nothing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot of nothing. I think this was a real error on the part of the administration. You know, we are looking at China essentially functioning as the banker for both Russia and Iran right now. And so what Russia and Iran are doing both in Ukraine and in the Middle East is what Xi approves of, and to have the President of the United States say he's going to give him, you know, a big state visit to San Francisco with all the Chinese flags flying, and the sort of dignity of that meeting to ask him about a partnership on climate change. Oh, and Xi, will you guys help us with Iran?
Right.
It's just embarrassing.
Right. Well, yeah, they made it clear China was going to be one of the things. The White House immediately ran out and said, well, we got two good things. Well, I mean, China promised they would begin to curb fentanyl coming here. Do you believe they will keep a promise or even going to try?
No. I mean, this is literally locking the barn door when the cow has gone.
Right.
The fentanyl is already here. I mean, thousands and thousands of Americans have died. I think all of us have seen someone in our communities impacted by this. And, you know, it continues to flow across an unchecked southern border. And even if China were to take an action, until you shut the border down, the cartels are just going to find another source. It's not that, this is not a solution to the fentanyl problem. The solution to the fentanyl problem is to cut off its ability to get into our country. That's on us, not on China.
Now, another thing they were quick to point out, hey, we got a hotline established. We will be now able to have communications directly, as if she will pick up the phone if Biden calls him or will be involved at all in any calls. Is that a big deal?
No, because, I mean, nobody picks up the call when Biden calls. I mean, this has been the theme from his early presidency. And so, you know, the Chinese have been acting just incredibly recklessly. You know, those of us who are old enough to remember the EP3 incident in 2001, before 9/11, that was, you know, an incident where a Chinese pilot flew into a U.S. plane and it had to land in emergency in China.
Right.
I mean, what China extracted was a signed apology from George W. Bush for that incident. And, you know, Xi hasn't even apologized for flying a spy balloon over our country.
No, he did not. And he did bring up, yeah. Xi brought up yesterday, we're still having industrial problems, chain supply, and it goes back to COVID. But he did not take responsibility for COVID.
No, and he won't. And one of the things we're very proud of this year at Heritage is we have a bipartisan, which is wonderful, commission to investigate the origins of COVID in China. I think we will have a follow-on effort to investigate what happened here in the United States with our friend Tony Fauci and some of his compatriots. But this one is focused on figuring out what happened in China and exposing the truth of that and holding them accountable. And I think there's so much information that is available but hasn't really been correlated. That's what the president should have been hammering home.
Yeah, and you mentioned Iran. I want to come back to that in a moment. There's another thing I thought he should have been hammering home. Yesterday, FBI Director Christopher Wray admitted that we have 260-plus known terrorists in our country right now. We don't know where they are. That does not count 600,000 getaways who we don't know who really did come in. And my question to Xi would have been from Biden, if he had the balls to ask it, that is, why are so many of your military-age men coming across our southern border? Because you know, if he's saying, well, they defected, their families will pay a price back in China if they defected. They were sent here with his authorization.
Well, and it's not a coincidence that once Biden opened the border, suddenly the number of, as you say, military-age Chinese males shot up from, I think, single or maybe double digits to thousands.
Yeah.
You know, so this just exploded. He sees a vulnerability. He wants to get his people in here for whatever nefarious purpose, and he's gonna take that opportunity. But of course, Biden can't raise that because I think Xi's rejoinder would be, yeah, well, how come you have an open border?
Perfect question. Yeah, the perfect question. So you mentioned Iran earlier, and you have a piece that you and your colleague Robert Greenway had kind of put together in the sense that how China could be the ultimate beneficiary of the Hamas attack on Israel.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, as you look at the horrible Hamas terrorist attack of October 7th, that's not something Hamas can do on its own. It's not trained or equipped. It doesn't have intelligence capabilities that would permit it to do that. So it had a sponsor. And the sponsor is obvious. The sponsor is Iran. I have some new polling, Larry, that I'm working on over this weekend to do analysis of, and I'll send it to you when it's done. But
okay. The
majority of the American people hold Iran accountable for this, of both parties. It's not a Republican versus Democrat thing. The American people are smart enough to know that they are pulling the strings. So then you think, okay, who's pulling Iran's strings? And, you know, one of the sort of little noticed developments of the early Biden administration was the very serious agreement that was signed between China and Iran, I think in the spring of 21, which basically gives Iran a monopoly over Iran, or China rather, a monopoly over Iran's oil exports, which were then starting to expand again as the Biden people stopped enforcing sanctions. So that's critical to Beijing.
If you're talking about the Iran-Saudi deal on the Yemen that they brokered in Beijing last March, is that the one?
No. This was 2 years before that.
Okay.
This is basically $400 billion in Chinese investment in Iran over 25 years in exchange for exclusive, you know, the dedicated flow of oil. And, you know, so that's been developing, and that's the money that's been flowing into Iran over the last 2.5 years that was used for this terrorist attack. So again, Iran's not going to endanger that by taking a hugely provocative action in the Middle East unless Beijing signs off. So that's where the culpability ultimately lies.
And the vested interest China has in seeing Israel destroyed or Iran continuing to terrorize the world is to the benefit of China, just to keep chaos going and destroy any possible sense of peace in the world?
Well, so I think generally, but also critical to them is the energy coming out of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And so if the Saudis and the Israelis signed the peace deal that we appear to have been so close to in September,
right,
then Saudis lashed up with the United States. And we are providing them security guarantees, which means we have our finger on that flow of energy. So that's a problem for them. But I think the added benefit and what might be the point is they know we're overextended on Ukraine. And right, if Israel becomes a hot point, we have to respond to that. You know, you could argue that Ukraine is discretionary. There are others who could fill that void, but no one else is going to help Israel. So I think Israel was collateral damage for them that was worth it.
Victoria Coates with the Federalist. And, of course, last night, the Senate, all Senate Democrats, that would include 51, including Kamala, all voted to not give the $14-plus billion to Israel, as Chuck Schumer demanded the other day. They needed ASAP, and they didn't because it didn't have the Ukraine funding and everything else they want to throw into it.
No, it was disgraceful. I mean, if you had a president who truly stood with Israel and the Congress said to him, look, here's what we can do. We have the votes to pass the Israel peace. Let's get it through. Then we'll talk about Ukraine. We've already funded Ukraine up to about $113 billion. So hopefully they can muddle through for a few more weeks while we get this done. And you saw John Fetterman, God love him, wrap himself in the Israeli flag, go take a bunch of really nice pictures right at the rally, then come back to the Senate and vote to table the motion for the Israel stuff. And
so did Schumer. And so did Schumer. He was at the same rally. Yeah.
All of them. And, you know, it's a self-defeating strategy, because if they had done that, if they'd said, you know, all Americans are going to stand together, we're going to back Israel, most important thing, I know a lot of both Senate and House Republicans who would have said, okay, now let's go talk about Ukraine.
Yeah.
What is, you know, do you need 60 plus billion in this file right now? You know, in emergency spending, so adding to the debt. Do you really need? And I think they would have had that conversation.
I think, but they don't want to, because supposedly the belief is among, I assume, Biden, Schumer, and the rest of the Democrats, if you separate that, we won't get any more money for Ukraine, or a lot less than what we want, because we can't account for what we've already given them and where it's gone. Do you think Biden raised the issue with Iran's connection to China at all during this tete-a-tete?
No. I think what he did is all he would have raised was, you have influence with Iran. Yes, thanks to you, President Biden. China now has influence with Iran, and would you please restrain them? And that's what, I mean, Xi must have just been laughing his head off privately.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to restrain them. This is exactly what I want.
Hamas is laughing at us. All the terrorists are laughing at us. Our enemies are laughing at us. The only other good thing that could be seen as good yesterday, for yesterday only, they did clean up the streets of San Francisco, which proves they can if a communist leader comes to the city.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, for all of us who have loved San Francisco over the years, what's happened to that beautiful city has just been an American tragedy. And so I'm happy for our brothers and sisters who have to live out there that at least for, you know, a period of time, the city is livable. But it does show you, you know, that they are keeping that city that way because that's the way Gavin Newsom wants it.
And there were so many Chinese flags along the route, he might have thought he was back in Beijing.
100%. Where were all the American flags?
Absolutely.
It was really pretty embarrassing.
Victoria Coates, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Larry. Take care.
You bet. Victoria Coates, I'll look forward to her report coming out on that survey. Next hour, Xi Banfleet, born in China, sent to re-education camps. She's warning. She has a big warning.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And of course you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We don't care if you're white. We don't care if you're black. We don't care if you're gay. We're all under attack. We don't care if you're rich. Don't care if you're poor. We just know what we're fighting for. Sing it. Real women. Trump. We don't need no liberal Trump, yeah. Real women vote for Trump. Oh yeah. Real women vote for Trump. We don't need no liberal Trump, yeah. Real women vote for Trump.
Tell you what, that is a trio of white women led by Lone Star CJ, and they're known as the Deplorable Choir, singing about real women vote for Trump, and we're not caring about really your color, your ethnicity, anything. It's just that you need to be understanding that we need somebody of power and authority in the White House that the world will respect. Okay, Larry, that's three white women. Big deal. I mean, what would you expect? Well, I have an addition to that. I'm glad you asked the question. There is a female rapper, a black woman, says she is going to vote for Trump because she believes, quote, "you absolutely need guns." This is rapper Azalea Banks. She says she feels way safer in a state where everyone carries a gun, so she is now living in Florida. She left California and went to Florida. This American rapper says, I might end up getting canceled, but that's okay. That'll make me more cool because I support the Second Amendment. She's 32 years old. She's been known to make some controversial statements at times, feuded with other celebrities, explaining that a new technocratic class is taking over, accruing wealth, and it serves as a stark contrast to, quote, what wealth will actually be worth in the event of a nuclear fallout or a meteor hitting Earth. And then she argued, again, you absolutely need guns. She was born in Los Angeles. She moved to Miami in 2021 and said she feels way safer in a state where everyone carries a gun. And because of that, she said she will be voting for Trump in 2024. She's also discussed the culture war, the influence of big tech, and she emphasizes the importance of free speech. Good for her. She said the journey for her out of the culture war is a journey out of big tech and moving for a world where something like freedom of speech is no longer politicized. And then she mentioned President Trump as an example of someone who says and does what they want. She said he's just effing funny. He's been through how many bankruptcies, how many wives, how many TV shows? Seriously, nothing can take him down. In this newspaper interview, she also said, free speech has only ever really been offered to white men. But her language, according to her, means that she is the biggest effing white in the world. She said, in addition, I thank Gen Z for promoting cancel culture, saying that's a effing blessing for me. Call me out. Cancel me. I dare you. She's right back in their face. In fact, she added, if you don't get canceled, you're not like cool. She did say there's a tipping point where shock culture moves into stupidity, and adding that sometimes you deserve to reap what you sow. The woman's a female rapper, Azalea Banks, and I'm telling you, she's talking like a philosopher in the sense of, you want all this woke culture around you? This is what you want in your life? Do you not see what would be coming down the road? What's already happening? You already know how they're going after your children in various ways, how they're trying to go after them inside schools. And a lot of parents weren't even aware of it until the only blessing that came out of COVID was a realization that the kids are not being taught, they're being indoctrinated. And at Harvard and other schools, you saw mass groups of students. These are, again, university students. You think they would know and have found something about history before running down the halls yelling the PLO slogan, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means Israel will be wiped off the face of the earth. And after they go after the Jews, then they'll go after Americans. And that would include American Muslims, if you're not following Sharia law. Oh, they stone and kill their own people on a constant basis if they're holding them to Sharia law. A woman's head is not properly covered, she will suffer. And where is all the yell and hue and cry from those concerned about the Muslims in Palestine, I mean in Gaza, and certainly I would be concerned for them as well. They're Muslim, but where's all the cry about the Uyghur Muslims in China, enslaved, locked up, tortured, executed? Did Biden possibly bring that up with? No, of course he didn't bring it up with the Chinese premier. Did you see crowds on the way waving flags on behalf of Uyghur Muslims? No, you did not. It's the same idiot thought process when LGBTQ people say, oh, we're all about free Palestine and they support Muslim. They do not really support what Sharia law Muslim would do to them. They would not be accepted. They would be tortured and killed. That gets right back to rapper, maybe philosopher now, Azalea Banks, when she says, you are going to deserve to reap what you sow if you're going to be so stupid. There's another rapper. This is a black man who's a rapper, and he has been noting what Target has been doing and trying to reach inside the minds of your kids with all the murk they put in front of them and their messaging. And this is for Gotta Blow going after Target.
Target, yeah, they talk, you know it. Target's their wrong, trying to play with the kids. It's the mayor of Magaville, I'm preaching again. You know the LGBTQ don't win too far. You know they cutting these kids, they leaving trannies with scars. Why they pushing the gender, promoting sexual genders? I'm only rocking with Bruce, don't rock with no Caitlyn Jenner. You think that gay shit gon' get you paid? Yeah, we gon' see. It's Mar-a-Lago 2020, but we trumpin', baby.
They put a target on my back, but they're targeting your kids. They don't even need to ask, cause you all know what it is. Yeah, that's why I keep a strap, and I'm always by my best. This agenda gotta stop, yeah, you know we gonna win when they target, target, yeah, they target and target, target, yeah, they target kids.
His point being, Target has been bowing to the woke culture, and now they are targeting your kids. I love it. Not only good music, good rap, I like that, but the message is so clear. It should be. By the way, CNNN was trying to ambush GOP candidate Vivek Ramaswamy because Trump had used the term vermin, and CNNN might regret even asking the question. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
That language, they live like vermin. Do you believe that that is, as your Republican colleague Chris Christie has said, neo-Nazi rhetoric?
This is a classic mainstream media move. Pick some individual phrase of Donald Trump, focus on literally that word without actually interrogating the substance of what's at issue.
The word was chosen for a reason.
We are in the middle of a cultural war in this country.
The word was chosen for a reason.
Well, you know what? It's actually describing a series of behaviors. You have Antifa and other related groups that have been burning down cities for the last 3 years in this country.
Would you describe them as vermin?
Wildly violating the rule of law. We have an invasion on our southern border. We have millions of people crossing our southern border. Let's talk about the substance.
Okay.
Sorry I asked. We're not done with that. I'll come back to it. Let me set the stage for you. Former President Trump did use the remark in New Hampshire over the weekend that if reelected, he would, quote, root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, and also warning about the threat now inside our country. That's how he was using it. And they thought Vivek might buy into this also and go trounce Trump because they had earlier had on Jake Tapper's show GOP candidate Chris Christie. And they were asking him, what do you think about that recent remark about vermin? Well, Christie did the CNNNN roll over, scratch my belly. I'm all with you. He said, I think what he's done with his use of language is to give permission to a lot of people who then believe they can keep it and take it even further. He said that they can actualize the things he said, weaponize the things he's saying. Most people won't use that type of language because they know there's real risk of threat. There is nothing that Trump said in what I just read is a risk of threat by calling Marxist, fascist, communist, radical left as vermin. None. There's no call to action to go hunt them down and destroy them, kill them, attack them, nothing. He just said, what I will do as president, I will get them out of our country to make our country safer again. Of course, Chris Christie is a Trump hater. Used to be a lover, then a hater, then a lover again, then back to a hater again. And he was a perfect foil for the question when they Jake Tapper asked him, what do you think about him using the word vermin? Oh, he was more than glad to play the game. It's almost as if, and I wouldn't be so sure they didn't, that they scripted it out for him, already on the prompter. Here's what I will say. I think what Trump's done with his use of language is give permission to a lot of people who believe they can take it even further. It's only the conservatives, independents, those on the right, that are not allowed to say anything without inciting. Those on the left can do what they want. I told you that there was a rally outside the DNC headquarters last night. Those supporting Palestine and Hamas, and they're rallying outside the Democrat National headquarters. Police had to evacuate the building. This is just another way, like they did last weekend at Biden's house in Delaware, trying to put pressure on Democrats. You've got to buy the PLO story, and you've got to accept that Hamas had every right to go in and kill innocent, unarmed people. Now, that was a direct action. Let's go back to Vivek as the CNN anchor is trying to recapitulate and control the interview.
Picking on Donald Trump's word vermin to talk about that status quo. You know what's vermin? What's running around San Francisco on a given day before Gavin Newsom cleaned it up on a dime to roll out the red carpet for Xi Jinping. If he could do that for Xi Jinping, he could have done it on an ordinary day. And yet we're here sitting talking not about the substance of that, but on one word that Donald Trump said in some speech in Miami. This is what's wrong with the mainstream media. Focus on the substance and let's have an actual policy debate rather than talking to a presidential candidate instead of the policy substance of what's actually going on in the country, picking on some word that Donald Trump said on a certain day and asking me for comment on it. Give me a break.
Give me a break. You know, and here's another issue. Because if you dare dispute the green theory, then you're another nutcase. And part of the green theory is eat less beef because we want less cows. Why? Because cows fart a lot. Methane gas is produced going into our atmosphere. I would want to ask all of those pushing green, 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 how many of you have pets? Do you know your dog and your cat also fart, producing methane gas? Let me break it down for you. The cattle are the biggest, there's no doubt about it. There's about inside the U.S., I'm just talking about inside the U.S. now, something like 30 million beef cattle in the U.S. And a 2019 study by the Agriculture Department found that a single cow produces about 264 pounds of methane gas per year. That's a lot, right? But it still amounts to 3% of total U.S. emissions. That study found out that this is the National Academy of Sciences saying removing all animals from U.S. agriculture would reduce U.S. emissions by only 3%. 3%. And then you come to your pets. There is 77 million dogs in the U.S. that we know of, about 58 million cats, 135 million total. If your dog consumes about 2 pounds of beef every day, their annual methane emission would be about 28,000 pounds per year. Your cat, about 680 pounds a year. That's why they burp more, I guess, and they poop. Anyway, all of this amounts to 64 million tons of carbon dioxide, which would be the same climate impact as a year's worth of driving 13 million cars. And, of course, then don't forget about all those dogs and cats that drop their feces and the owners don't pick it up. You've stepped in it? Yes, you have. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.